I moved to East Indonesia, and trash from the ocean was literally arriving every morning from the with the tide, you know, our beach always full of plastic.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Recycle Rice podcast, where entertainment and education is rolled into one. We promise it'll broaden your perspective and help you deep dive into the most important topic of our generation, environment and sustainability. This week, through the podcast, we are truly going global. On today's episode of the Recycle Rice podcast, we have with us Nina Van Tulen, founder of Indonesia Waste Platform and co-founder of International Waste Platform. Nina herself is a global citizen with homes in Asia and Europe. Her calling, which has been to work in the sustainability sector, took her from Holland to Hong Kong in 1987. And since then, Asia has been Nina's home, where she continues to live and work, including her present home in Indonesia. Entrepreneur, mother, long-term environmental campaigner, Nina is the inspiration and the founder behind the Ecoflorist Network, a forum to mobilize green efforts on Flores Island in Indonesia by sharing information, cooperation of efforts, figuring out ways to support locals and waste management and focus sustainability efforts. Welcome to the podcast, Nina.
Hi, Patricia. Thanks for inviting me.
You're in Netherlands now. How is it there? I hope all of you are doing okay.
Yeah, we are isolating at home and following the rules of the Dutch government. So we stay at home as much as possible.
I understand. So if I have to dive into the questions, climate change feels like an abstract concept. It perhaps is becoming the most used word, but how do we make the messaging clear about it? How should the discussion or narrative about climate change be?
Well, it's a huge topic, a huge question too. We still have a big group of climate skeptics. I truly see the change of climate, but climate has always been changing. Actually, the weather has always been changing. But in my lifetime, I see a big change. And I think people who are not affected by it themselves, for example, by floods or droughts or, you know, having to move where they live, and people who lose their land to sea level rise, if you are not affected yourself, maybe it's all very vague. And I think people maybe not have the feeling it impacts themselves. So the narrative, I think, should be storytelling from people who are affected, and to bring it home to the people who do not feel they are affected yet, although we all are. I'm so amazed about the behavior change in response to the COVID crisis, because in no time people were able to change their habits, stay at home, keep 1.5 meter distance. And so that behavior change came so fast. And I think it came because out of fear for, you know, for your personal health, personal threat. And I think climate change and the whole pollution topic, plastic pollution, and our oceans are so polluted, I think that doesn't feel as the same threat. So I think we should send out some more narrative which makes it more personal. So we need experts to focus on that narrative.
Right. It's always when the problem is not yours, when it is someone else's problem, you're not affected by it. But when you start seeing that sooner or later, it's going to affect and impact all of us, then maybe we will act as quickly as we are doing in the present crisis.
Yeah, true. I think that makes a difference, because you see so clearly how people respond now. Yeah, I don't see so many people responding to climate action. I mean, there are lots of initiatives and global strategies and so what, but it's so abstract. As a citizen, you feel quite inadequate. I mean, we know you can use saving lamps and turn off your lights and use as little as possible energy and so on, water saving, responsible consuming, and so on and so on. But on the other hand, so many people on this planet have nothing to start with, you know, that's another issue. There are so many people living on or under the poverty line, and Of course, they need things that people in the West have in abundance, but people in the West, they just want more, more, more. People here, I'm now in Holland, you know, we have everything here and people still complain, but we have too much. Normal is over. We know our planet is in such a bad state and normal is over, but the normal for people who are living on the poverty line is a very different normal.
There are very stark inequalities, either it is economic or social inequalities, geographically in different places. There's so much happening, but even in 2020, there are a large section of people who say climate change is a hoax. And then there are others who name you as a firebrand activist. There is a difference between activist and action taker, right? So in a sector predominantly which is cynical or with a lot of non-believers, naysayers, or how do you focus on solution-based action?
I focus mainly on awareness raising based on science. I started focusing on waste because I moved to East Indonesia and trash from the ocean was literally arriving every morning with the tide, you know, our beach always full of plastic. So 10 years ago, I started focusing on waste, and waste is very much related to climate change because the packaging we use, it's produced from fossil fuels. I mean, now there are alternatives, but it's mainly plastic. And the waste management simply is lacking. So yeah, there are many different data about it, but they say maybe 8 or 9% of the plastic ever produced since decades has been recycled. So where is the rest? Well, it's in our environment. And so I chose to focus on that. And then I found out it's a really big field. So it's a full-time voluntary job to raise awareness. I also work in the field by cleaning the beach and giving training to teachers and so on. And then on a broader perspective, I publish a lot on social media about events. It's all about capacity building, raising awareness. And yeah, before you know it, you're pushed into an activist role. For me, that's not a negative connotation. It's just taking action, and within my own capacities, you just do as much as you can. Yeah,
absolutely. So from the whole spectrum of reading about it, research, science, to taking action and being on the front lines, that's a great way to go, Nina. So things like waste or pollution do not adhere to political or geographical boundaries. In this backdrop, you have co-initiated the International Waste Platform. What is it and how do you tackle the mounting problem of waste? Like you said, every morning you woke up, you saw that waste was coming onto the beaches and generally all around us there's waste. So how do you tackle that problem?
Well, my turning point was 2015. So in February 2015, there was a publication out by Jenna Jambek and colleagues about the state of plastic in the ocean. And that year, I followed a MOOC from UNEP and the Dutch Open University on marine litter. By following that course, it was a few weeks, like 6 weeks or so, I came to the conclusion that one big gap is cross-sector collaboration, because some structural social problems can only be solved by a structural collaboration between the different sectors who are all related to that problem. Waste, it involves government and policies and regulation and law enforcement. It involves producers and brand owners, recycling sector, packaging federation, NGO, educators. It involves so many sectors and you need a plan and, you know, a strategy. And at that time, there was no strategy in Indonesia. And so that's why I set up this platform open to anyone to join. It's all open access. Anybody can join for free to learn and to facilitate collaborations. And in 2016, the government of Indonesia started developing a national action plan, and it was published in 2017. And what I see as one challenge is to bridge that top-down plan on paper, it's a great plan, to the people who are doing it in the field, because actually, that's anybody, you, me, any consumer, any stakeholder is related to waste because we all generate waste on a daily basis. I mean, that's the job I see for myself, to bridge that top-down plan to bottom-up. So that's what I do.
And bringing such a network of people is also like a commendable job. So you've worked both at micro and macro level, just like you were mentioning, both top-down, bottom-up, and all these levels with plastic waste. And in that, our oceans are becoming soups of waste, right? Amongst all the stakeholders, like people living on the river basin, to the industries and policymakers, where is the most change that's needed for maximum impact?
Well, I think there is not enough focus on education upstream rivers. I think the major source of ocean plastic, well, they say 80% of ocean plastic comes from land-based sources. And obviously that's from coastal towns, from people just throwing it in the ocean, or it gets blown in the ocean due to lack of waste management and collection systems. But there is much less focus inland, where people, for example, on Flores, where I live, you drive up 4 hours up into the mountains to the next town. And those people also generate waste, but they don't feel particularly connected to the ocean because they don't even see it from there. But their waste is littered in rivers which flow to the sea. So I think you need to start upstream at the first part of a river, which is a source of ocean. They call that riverine waste, all the trash that goes into rivers. And start educating upstream, because as long as you don't start from the top, you're sort of sweeping with the tap open. Because we can clean beaches and we can make river traps, and we can do whatever we want near the coast, but it's always continuing to come and flow. And when it's, for example, rain season, you see a huge surge in waste coming to the ocean, because then it's just flushed through the rivers out to sea. And that's where I see a big gap. So I hope there will be more focus on riverine waste.
When we call ourselves the blue planet and we know that the entire water network is connected, I think it should be, like you said, at upstream level itself, the education needs to be so much more stronger.
True. There's very little awareness. And this is also in developed countries where, you know, it's in any country. And of course, it's not only plastic which goes into rivers. And the other issue is landfills. So that's an issue that there goes less to landfills, so that there's better sorting at home. And 60% of it is organic waste, from food leftovers or whatever. And that starts to decompose and emits methane. So that contributes again to climate change. The whole waste issue is very much related to climate change in many ways.
So the global goals that we're all talking about, the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, the end of it is 2030, which is quite far away. But do you think we are realistically going towards them? Is there any evidence in 2020 that we are on the path to achieving those 17 Sustainable Development Goals given by the United Nations?
I think we should all be optimistic and just go for it, because so many challenges. And one big challenge, I think, is inequality and, people coming out of poverty. But on the other hand, climate change isn't helping, because people suffer from droughts and you have the issue of food security. And you see what the COVID crisis in no time created problems. It created for economy and food security and so on. It's very complicated. And so if you have a pandemic like this suddenly coming up, it doesn't help. And then there's, of course, the lobby of the industry, and the whole thing is so complicated, but we can't continue to consume the way we do. So I just use my common sense.
And yeah. I believe that each of us has our own little role to play. Maybe some of us have so much sphere of influence.
Well, everybody can do something, you know. That should be also a narrative. You can really do something, but because the problems are so huge, you feel overwhelmed. And then maybe you think, if I do something small, maybe it's just a drop in the ocean. But I mean, you need all those drops to fill the ocean. And
then there is also this ripple effect, right? Your drop will create a ripple around you.
Yeah, that's it. Every person who takes an action influences people in their own circle. If you're interested in the topic and you want to do something, you can find all the info.
And empower yourself with that knowledge.
Yeah, and choose something which is close to your heart, because everybody has different priorities. But we all have to do something, and we can.
Of all the milestones that you've achieved over the decades, I am most excited about one thing, and that is your Eco Lodge. I wish I had known you and the place last year when I was traveling in Indonesia. Nevertheless, I'm a travel enthusiast, and I actively look out for accommodations that emphasize sustainable travel and living. So what are your key pillars at this Eco Lodge?
Well, it's built by local people, so local craftsmen, local knowledge, building knowledge, and local materials. And I love being there. It's in the middle of nature. And I also always invite people to come who like to learn about sustainability. And I work for sustainable development on Flores too. So we did workshops for communities to develop Flores Homestay Network.
But you've been emphasizing on community so much. What is this community-based tourism development? What are your key learnings that you have been practicing?
Well, my key learnings are that I'm always a visitor, so it's not my island. So I think the key learning, that's my attitude. I can only support local stakeholders. In the end, up to local stakeholders from Flores to manage their own place, their own island. So the only thing I like to do is support by knowledge sharing, connecting people. So there are many stakeholders from outside Flores who have an interest in Flores sustainable development. So we organized conferences on the island, and then the stakeholders are the locals who are doing work in the field, and we focus on identifying all the issues and the needs and gaps and challenges and which actions should be taken. But in the end, the action should be taken by the people who live there with support of anybody who likes to support. Yeah.
But empowering them is something that I see as a key takeaway.
Yeah, that's it. Empowerment and knowledge sharing, and sometimes try to help people find funds, like for a proposal. There are many best practices which could be rolled out also for waste by local stakeholders. The challenge is always funding. So many local initiatives, they run on sheer idealism. In the end, of course, that's not sustainable. You need to...
So there are many things that we humans are getting wrong. So from all your years in the sustainability sector, if you have one good practice that you can give to the rest of the world, and the world is following that, what would that be? One good practice in sustainability?
That's a really difficult question, because it depends who you direct your answer to. People here in Holland, I would say consume less. The answer is also very much related to, again, inequality. I would say to anybody who is in a position to make a change, to contribute to reduce inequality and be more conscious about it. Because, you know, I can tell you, when you live here, you don't see it. Because here, everything in abundance. And of course, there are also people who have problems, financial problems, but you can't compare it to Asia or Africa. For me, everybody is equal, you know, whatever position they have.
I think that's a very, very thoughtful thing of you to say. Each one, depending on where they are, what they're doing, they'll have a different role to play in this whole scheme of sustainability, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Never stop moving.
And really appreciate it, Nina.
Yeah, thank you too. It was really nice to talk to you.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It would be great if you could subscribe to and share the podcast, and mention all your learnings with Recycle Tech. That is RECYKALTECH. I'll see you next Saturday with another guest speaker talking about environment, sustainability, and climate change. Till then, it's your host, Pratyusha Parkala, signing off.